Our gospel lesson this morning is from the gospel according to Matthew, reading in the 10th chapter. Listen again to the word of our God. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of God's holy word. And let us pray. O God, we have sung and prayed and read your word, and now we listen. Speak, O Lord, so that we may hear, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. So a couple of decades before I went to divinity school, I was at Quinnipiac University earning my bachelor's in physical therapy. So one of those courses back in those days was designed to give us empathy toward our future patients. So to that end, we were required to spend a day in a wheelchair, then another morning on crutches, and then another day with an eye mask that effectively blocked out all light. In this last example, I was guided by a classmate throughout our normal routine. Classes, cafeteria, back to the dorm. The first thing I noticed was the noise. Without vision, I was bombarded by noise that I couldn't make sense of. What was that sound? Where was it coming from? Do I need to react or respond to it? Sounds I could normally filter out with the aid of my vision were confusing and chaotic. For me, crossing the street was the worst. I just wanted to rip that mask off and take control again. I needed to see what was coming. Relinquishing control to my classmate was terrifying. My life in her hands. What if I wanted to see the car was coming? I wanted to see the next turn in the road. I wanted to trust my judgment and not hers. But as the day progressed, my nerves settled and I stopped resisting, and I felt myself begin to relax and trust her. My experience was teaching me trust. Even in the presence of the unknown, she would guide me safely. Perhaps not the way I would have, but safe nonetheless. And so it was with Abraham. Abraham called by God to go to a land that God would show him, to trust that God would show him the way. Abraham called by God to be the father of monotheism. From Abraham would come a multitude of descendants. And now, called by God to sacrifice his only son, God had promised a child to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, and Isaac was born. So why would God take Isaac away now? What about the descendants to fill the promised land? What would happen to all that without Isaac? This reading this morning from Genesis, the first phrase was, "After these things, God tested Abraham." I got to admit, that makes me bristle a little bit. God testing. Does it you? I don't like to think of God as testing. I like to think of God as loving and forgiving and compassionate. Testing implies failing to me. If God set us up with a test, why would God want us to fail? But the reality of this story is God did test Abraham. And Abraham passed with an A+. But what would have happened if Abraham had failed? What would have happened if Abraham said, no, I won't do it. I love my son. I won't sacrifice him. The context for this story is that God is just beginning a relationship with the people. Prior to this point, the people believed in many gods, a different god for each need in life, a fertility god, god of rain, a god of success, a god of sun, a god of wealth. And if one needed rain, then one would sacrifice to that god. So into that culture comes our one god, the one god that provides for all our needs and is in relationship with us. Not a stone god, but a living god who knows us each by name. And that God asks of Abraham something heartbreaking, something that will jeopardize everything Abraham holds dear. His son, his relationship with his wife. Imagine Sarah's reaction if Abraham came home without Isaac. So what if Abraham said no? Our scriptures are full of people trying to say no to God. Moses said no at first. Ask my brother, he speaks better than I do. But God persisted. Jonah said no at first, and we kind of know that didn't work out well for Jonah, the whole whale of 3 days. And God persisted. Even Jesus cried out to God, if it is your will, O God, let this cup pass from me. But God persisted. And Jesus rose again. Running away from God doesn't work. God keeps coming after us. So Abraham was at this fork in the road, yes or no to God. So no takes him down this path, lives out his days in the wilderness with Sarah and Isaac. Perhaps a peaceful life, but not the life God intended for Abraham. The life that God intended for Abraham was over here on this road, the one that asked of Abraham to follow God and all that God asked of him. I believe that the life that God asks of us is the life intended for us, our own best life. Abraham said yes, no hesitation. Yes, God, here I am. He just gathered what he needed and set off. God said, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Our first response to God is to stop and listen. What God was asking Abraham to do was to trust. Take a step this way, and then another, and another. And that's how I felt back in college when I was unable to see for the day and following my classmate around. I stayed close to my guide and I trusted her to be taking me to the right way and to the right class, to the right dorm, avoiding obstacles, safely crossing a busy street. God is asking Abraham and God asks us to trust God. I have a son who just finished 8th grade, and there's a lot of drama around tests. So I'm thinking about this testing that God has asked of Abraham. So why do we have tests? Not necessarily to see pass or fail, but to see, are we ready for the next level? He's had placement tests. Can he move into this class? What class will he be in high school? So it's to determine how far we've come in our relationship to God. Are we able to trust God and to do the next thing that God has asked of us? So for me, that helped. Putting testing in that context helped us understand God's testing of Abraham. Abraham was promised by God a son in his old age, and if you recall, they laughed. And yet Isaac was born. So God says, do you trust me now? Can I ask you to believe and do something even more difficult? God says, I imagine great things for you, Abraham. Are you able to trust me for the next step? God doesn't want Abraham to fail. It's not a test that brings Abraham in or out of God's favor. It's a test that allows Abraham to move even deeper into a close and trusting relationship with God. And Abraham is ready. His son is bound with rope on the altar, the knife poised, and God says, wait, wait, Abraham, now I know. Now I know. God needed to know, was Abraham ready for whatever God asked him to do next? Are we? My experience, your experience, this faith community's experience teaches us that God is trustworthy. Yes? Is that true for you? That day back in college when I couldn't see because of the mask, we started out small at first. She just stayed in the classroom, and then we ventured across the hall and then outdoors. I was tentative at first, kind of sliding my feet along, not really trusting her. But by the end of the day, we moved in sync. I was taking strides, matching hers. All because I trusted her. So where are we with God? Are we sliding our feet forward? Are we moving in sync with God who's guiding our lives, our church? Are we staying put because we don't know what's ahead? Or are we moving through our lives constantly in step with God, trusting God's presence, trusting where God is leading us, trusting God's guidance, God's compassion, God's comfort? So what are you thinking now? Are there particulars in your own life where God is guiding you? Asking you to follow. Perhaps about our church. We have a newly formed search committee. There's a lot of unknowns ahead. We don't know what the future holds, but taking the next steps, doing the next right thing that God has asked us to do. We don't ever really know. We might think we know, but in reality, every day brings a new possible fork in the road. But what we can do is draw closer into God's presence, trust God's guidance, and take the next step and the next. Our gospel lesson provides a wonderful image for serving one another. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water, the need is a tangible physical need. It is a specific gesture. And it's not just water, but it's cold water. So within this faith community, we nurture our relationships with God to strengthen us as a faith community to open our hearts and doors to bring a cup of cold water to a thirsty world. May God bless you in your relationship with God. Your ministry here is this church and all that you do. And may you draw close into God's protective guidance and love and compassion each day. Amen.